Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this broadcast of The White Way. I trust that all of you are well and enjoying this life with the assurance that you are within the embrace of the All-Compassionate One. If you will, please join me in Gassho. The saying of Nembutsu is neither a religious practice nor a good act. Since it is practiced without any calculation, it is non-practice. Since it is also not a good created by my calculation, it is a non-good. Since it's nothing but other power, completely free of self-power, it is neither a religious practice nor a good act on the part of the practicer. Namo Amida Butsu. This morning, I want to talk about two definitions of Buddhism. The first is that Buddhism is a teaching or doctrine that we should study objectively, and the second is that Buddhism is a teaching that we should experience subjectively within our own lives. The word Buddhism in Japanese is called Bukkyo. This word consists of two Chinese characters, Butsu, or Buddha, the awakened one, and Kyo, or teaching. On this basis, then, we can talk about the following two definitions of Buddhism. Number one, teaching as taught by the Buddha, taught by the historical person Shakyamuni. Here, the teaching is an object of our intellectual or academic pursuit. It is a way to appreciate the Buddha's teaching. Second, teaching for us to become Buddhas. It is a teaching that enables us to become Buddhas. In this second way, we are supposed to appreciate Shakyamuni Buddha's teaching within the context of our own lives and to eventually become a Buddha and awaken one, just like Shakyamuni. So what then is the relationship between the two? It has been said that the first Buddhism is a preparatory stage for the second Buddhism. The ultimate goal of Buddhism does not exist in the first Buddhism. In the mere intellectual appreciation of a doctrine or ideas or concepts, it exists in the second Buddhism, in our becoming Buddhas. We can compare the first Buddhism to collecting recipes and the second Buddhism to actual cooking and eating. Or we could compare the first Buddhism to learning about love by reading romantic novels and the second Buddhism to actually loving someone. I feel that it is perfectly okay to pursue the first Buddhism as much as we want to if we do not forget that our goal is the second Buddhism. There are many Buddhists who feel that the goal is the first Buddhism, and they remain in the first Buddhism thinking that learning about a doctrine or ideas or concept is good enough. In other words, they mistake recipe collection for actual cooking and eating, or reading about love for actual loving. Those who are satisfied with the first Buddhism are not true Buddhists, but are collectors of knowledge. They do not know that Buddhism is nothing but a teaching of self-examination, and do not realize that their self must be examined by the Buddha's teaching, that it must be challenged, doubted, and negated by it. The true Buddhist initially studies the first Buddhism and uses the knowledge acquired in it for self-examination and the reality of the Dharma. When he or she has this deep realization, he is said to become a Buddha, an awakened one. Let me illustrate by this simple story, a Jataka tale that teaches us what the Buddha said or did, and our self-realization that is directed to us through the teachings. Once upon a time, there were three princes. One day, they went out for a picnic on a mountain. There, they bumped into a mother tiger that was lying on the ground. She was so emaciated that she could not even stand up, and her five cubs surrounded her. When the three princes saw the tiger and cubs, each prince expressed his respective ideas. First, the oldest prince said, "Good, The tiger is emaciated. Let's kill her. The skin of a tiger is precious. Let's capture these five cubs and sell them. Then the second oldest prince said, how sad to see a starving tiger. Let's give her our lunch. She will regain her strength and will be able to nurse her babies. Then the youngest prince said, giving our lunch is not enough. To save her and her cubs, I want to offer my body to her. Having said so, he threw his body to the mother tiger. But she was so weak that she could not eat him. So with a sword, the youngest prince cut off his arm and offered his bloody arm to her. Then the tiger licked the blood and ate the arm. When the animal regained her strength, she jumped at the youngest prince and devoured him. The two princes were terrified and ran away. And that's the story. How do you read this story? I am sure that this story shows three levels of compassion. After reading this story to his audience, Iwao Hosokawa, a modern Shin thinker, asked, how do you read the story? With whom did you identify? How do you answer this question? When you read the story that talks about three princes and a tiger, with whom do you identify yourself? Probably we would identify ourselves with the oldest prince or with the second oldest prince. Although we cannot identify with the youngest prince, we would admire his extraordinary compassion for the tiger. If you would ask me, I think I would identify myself with the mother tiger. I think perhaps I would be the mother tiger that devoured the youngest and compassionate prince. I am no different from her. I have received so many wonderful things from my teachers, from my friends, and from my parents, but I am so ungrateful. I am no different from the tiger who devoured the prince without even thanking him. I read this story that shows the reality of the self, my own self. It shows how an ungrateful person I am. This is what Shinran is teaching us. Shinran is teaching us that we should read a text to show the reality of your own self, like a mirror that shows who you really are. Our teachers read texts solely for the purpose of examining the self. They read them as a mirror that reflected and showed what they really are. They were always asking, what is this text teaching me? What aspect of myself can I learn from reading the text? We can compare a Buddhist text to a drum. A drum does not have a fixed or standard sound as such. It gives off different sounds depending upon how you hit it. If you hit it softly, you get a soft sound. If you hit it hard, you get a loud sound. We can say the same about a Buddhist text. If we ask the Buddhist text a shallow question, you get a shallow answer. If you ask the text a deep question, you get a deep response. Just as our hitting the drum determines the nature of the sound it elicits, the degree of our seriousness or desperation determines the nature of the teaching. The more self-reflective we become, the more self-reflective the teaching we receive from a text. We can then receive a wonderful teaching, not only from the books, but also from people and things in this world. We can learn our true nature from them. As we deepen our understanding of Buddhism, we must know that Buddhism is nothing but a teaching of self-examination. Please join me in Gassho once again. The teaching of Buddha is like a great cloud, which with a single kind of rain waters all human flowers so that each can its fruit bear. Namo Amida Butsu. Thank you very much for listening and have a great day.